This term, I'd like us to look at the theme of the presence of God. We've called it dwell, and with the kind of the accompanying verse of Ephesians 2:22, which Lina read out this morning. And it was really, really encouraging because as we were praying before the meeting, John Sanderman decides to read from Ephesians 2:22, and he was not in the knowledge whatsoever that this was kind of the verse which I feel like I want. Like God's saying to frame this term around. And so I am really encouraged by that. That is good. I think God's in this theme. So if you don't want to look at the presence of God, tough. God does. So Chloe and I at the moment are looking after a colleague of Chloe's rabbit. And it's a colleague of Chloe's pet rabbit. No, it's not a colleague of a rabbit. So it's a pet rabbit called Pepper. And Pepper is an interesting rabbit. She's really, really cute. She's really, really lovely. And all I want to do is basically kind of pick her up, put her on my lap, and enjoy having a rabbit. Give her a little stroke, just exchange a bit of love. She can kind of sniff me and be all cute. And I can kind of go, "Oh, Pepper, you're so cute. It's really nice to have another heart beating in the house," and all that kind of stuff that you feel when pets are around. But Pepper is a nightmare, basically. But every time I've tried basically all weekend to pick Pepper up, and every time I've literally sat next to her for about 20 minutes at a time, just slowly kind of going closer and going away. And every time, you know, she'll sniff my hand, she'll kind of put two paws on my leg, but every time I try to pick her up, she growls at me and she goes, goes all tense and runs away, and then I get scared. And so it's an absolute nightmare. And I was kind of thinking this morning, actually, in the prayer meeting, that this is a bit like God's relationship with humanity. But basically, God, he just wants to kind of pick humanity up, put us on his lap, and give us a little stroke. He wants to just sit there and go, "Guys, I love you so much. You're gorgeous. You're really cute. Oh, come here. Let me care for you." And the majority of humanity, including a large bit of the church, keep getting all scared like Pepper does and go, "Oh, no, no. He's going to do something bad to me," and runs away. And we keep shying away. And this is, this is kind of the theme of the presence of God, is that God, he wants to be with us. He wants to love on us. He wants us to love on him. And he just wants to be friends with humanity. And he doesn't want us to be scared little rabbits like Pepper. So, good word? That's it. The reality is, God is, he is an enigma, which is why, it's good, I think, at times that you can't understand God, because if we could just understand him, then, he wouldn't really be a God worth worshipping. We kind of use phrases like Andy was saying this morning, God is with us, yet he likes to be with, those who welcome him. He is everywhere, yet he comes and dwells in us. Jesus says, "When two or three are gathered in my name, I am in your midst." And was he not there before? Is he there increasingly when two or three are gathered in his name? The psalm says that he's enthroned upon the praises of his people. So what about without the praises of his people? Is he not on the throne? Is he not there? Or is there an increase of his presence? Jesus, it says in Luke, was led into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit. And he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Did he have an increase of the measure of the Holy Spirit, even though he was God, on him afterwards? How does that work? He descends, certain places, certain regions. We enter in. It talks about the kingdom being within us, but the kingdom being at hand. The scripture talks about us having the fullness of Christ. We're in open heaven, yet some churches, communities, people groups, individuals seem to have more of the fullness of Christ than others, and more of an open heaven than others. But, how does that work? The reality is River Church became River Church because a group of guys went away on a boat and encountered God and were operating the gifts of Spirit and new awareness of the presence of God and excitement, and the church community which they're from couldn't buy into that, so they had to break in. So can some communities walk in more than others? I don't know. And there are loads of various things to kind of hold in tension. And I feel like, as a church, often when we say certain phrases, it doesn't really sum up, you know, just the complexity of it all. And maybe that's okay. You know, when we say, you know, God is coming into the building, maybe that's okay, the fact that he was already there, but it's just an awareness. We're just describing an awareness that we all, you know, currently have. But, just these are some of the things which kind of roll around in my head when I'm thinking about, we talk about the presence of God, but yet there are so many kind of contradictory kind of elements to it all that we have to hold in tension. But maybe that's great, because maybe that's why God is God, because he's massive and he's really hot. If you could just put him in a box and say, well, this is how it works, 1, 2, 3, then, you know, he's not big enough. He's too big for that. Does that make sense? So those are some of the things which I'm thinking about. So I'd like us to look at just a few verses. Exodus 29, Exodus 33, 1 John, and Ephesians 2:22, which Lina read out. Just a couple of things. So the tabernacle's been, you know, being built. God's given all these amazing instructions for the priests and how he wants worship to be done. And then at the end of Exodus 29, God kind of sums it up, and he says, verse 43, I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and I will also consecrate Aaron and the sons to minister as priests to me. Now that's now our job, because it's a priesthood of all believers, and the temple is the church, and us, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And, this is God's heart, guys, I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and I will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord of God. Exodus 33. I mean, I just like to encourage you guys just to kind of read through Exodus. It is awesome. And just some of the kind of the bar which is set by, you know, Moses and the encounters that he has with the Lord. And then even through the Old Testament, you know, the encounters that Elijah has and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. But then, you know, Jesus says of John that basically, you know, John walked in as kind of the second Elijah, and yet no one in the New Covenant, everyone in the New Covenant walks in greater than they all walked in. I should really have the verse. We'll look at that another time. Maybe I'll email it out or something. But basically, us as carriers of the Holy Spirit walk in more than what those guys walked in. Essentially, that's what he's saying. Exodus 33, this is Moses, the prayer of Moses. Exodus 33:13. This is my prayer. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, this is Moses praying to God, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I might find favor in your sight. And not only just me, then he says, consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, this is God, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, this is Moses, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from this place. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight and I your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? Then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for which you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. And then Moses said, I pray, show me your glory. This is after Moses' face has already shone in the glory. And, you know, Moses prays his prayer, and then he says, show me your glory. And then the Lord passes by, and he shows him his goodness. Moses prays, show me your glory, and the Lord reveals his character, which I think is really cool. But he says, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. Because what else sets us apart from the other people? Guys, what sets us apart from, like, the Rotary Club? What sets us apart from, like, a really great community and a really great family at Marlow Football Club? It's the presence of God. That's what sets us apart. John 1, I'm not going to read it, but then we see Jesus coming, the Word, he comes and dwells amongst the people. That is the incarnation. Christ comes and dwells amongst the people. It's no longer kind of God in his glory in the temple. It's God incarnate amongst the people, flesh and blood. And then Ephesians 2:22, which is the verse of the term. The church is the dwelling place of God. In church, there are a ton of things to hold in tension. When leading a church, there are loads of things to teach to hold in tension. So, you meet with the kids workers on Monday, and they go, "We need to include the children in our Sunday meetings more." And you're like, "Fantastic, yeah, that's good. God's heart is for children. We've prayed, and we really believe that kids should have more time on Sunday mornings." You're like, "Brilliant." And then you meet with Sam, and, "We want to include the youth more on Sunday mornings." And you're like, "Brilliant, we agree." And then you meet with Kerry and the worship guys. "We really feel like worship is really on the heart of God. We want more worship on Sunday mornings." And then you meet with someone who's passionate about teaching and go, "We really feel like we've prayed and we really feel like it's really, really important that we have good, solid Bible teaching on Sunday mornings. And that is what, you know, is on the heart of God. The people of God need to know stuff and we need good teaching on Sunday mornings. That's fantastic." And then you meet with John and Jill, maybe. This is not actual in my actual week. And they go, "We really feel like it's really important that the people of God become a prayerful people, and we have lots of times of extended prayer and travailing in the Spirit, and we need to give more time to that," and that's fantastic. And then you end up going yes to everything, and your meetings become 3 hours long. and it's the same. You get kind of people who are going, "Right, it's all about, growing, it's all about encounters with the Lord and having times of extended worship and praise and gifts of the Spirit and teaching people how to go to heaven and all that kind of stuff." You get other people saying, "What's the point of all that stuff? Because, you know, that's great, but actually the community's out there just thinking we're a whole bunch of nutcases, and we need to like look after the poor and the orphans and the widows and people who are having a really, really hard time in society. That is the church's job, to get out there." And you get other people who are going, "That's great, but you can just go and love people, but actually you need to lead them to Jesus. So it's all about evangelism. Guys, we need to be evangelistic, blah, blah, blah." And you get churches which are really like kind of focused on it, and then you get other churches like, "Forget all of that. It's all about the word. It's all about discipling people. We need to be a church which disciples people and mentors people and grounds them in good theology, and that should be our focus." And you get, you know, you kind of gather in various corners, and actually what we need to do is we need to hold each of these in tension. That is the role of leadership, to try and go navigate your way through all that kind of stuff and go, "This is what God's saying. This should be our culture. These are the things which we should prioritize." But I'd like to say that throughout all of these things, all of these various agendas, the presence of God should be the consistent thread. The presence of God, his character, his goodness, you know, his glory should be the common thread throughout all of them. That is our most valuable commodity and exists in all of those spheres of church life. So, water jug analogy.
Can I have a volunteer, please? Matthew. Thanks, Chris. Chris got one volunteer for Matthew. Matthew, stop this.
Okay.
Can I just face everyone? Okay. So I've done this illustration before. It's talking about just being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to do it again.
Okay.
Basically, the presence of God is, or presence of heaven, the presence of the Holy Spirit, however we want to call it, is constantly being poured out. Like so. But it's kind of like a Niagara and constant. Okay? So this us, or just me, personally, this is my little heart, my little life. And basically, thank you. I can go like this. The Lord's being like poured out constantly in a meeting, or any other time. I can go like this. I can go like that. That's my choice. That's all of our own individual choices to, in the worship, go, "You know what? I'm going to connect or not." You know, we enter in by faith. That's what faith is. It's trusting the unseen, God is real, and that we're activating ourselves so that we enter into that, and by faith we have sort of the truth. So, or we can be in a worship service, and everyone around us, we had this yesterday, everyone around us is just like having an absolutely amazing time, and they go, "Oh, Jesus," and you're like, "What? Awesome." Whatever, I don't want any of it. And we can be like that. It's our own choice. Or we can kind of be like, "Oh, maybe a little bit," and we kind of put ourselves side on like that. And we're getting a little bit of the juice, the water, but we're actually missing out a whole bunch. Or we can just kind of go like this and just stay there, and the cup's not full, so it's overflowing. And we just stay there like that. That's how God wants us to live, guys. Overflow. The end.
It's like that for us as individuals, but it's also like that for communities. So I kind of think if you multiply that one cup by 100 people, say there's the amount of in River Church, how many cups are there just wanting to be overflowed? Or how many cups? Is it just a couple of cups that are like that and a couple of cups are upside down or a few cups are on their side? You know, when God looks at various churches or various kind of nations or various kind of people groups, what does he see? Because you add all the little cups together and then it kind of gives you a picture of the whole. What does he see? Guys, I want us to be a church like that. That's like that. That when God looks at Marlow, he sees a church which that wants to be poured into. Because he's just, it's goodness, it's life, it's wholeness, it's restoration, it's love, yeah. It's energy, it's hope, it's abundant hope. It's, you know, in him there is no darkness, he's pure light. So why wouldn't you? Sometimes we just become a bit like Pepper and we get scared. She's scared I'm going to hurt her. She just doesn't understand. All I want to do is just give her a little cuddle. So when I talk about the presence of God, when I want to kind of ask us to emphasize the presence of God, this term, I think what I mean is, because there are loads of ways to define the presence of God. Are we talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, which just keeps creation, you know, continuing to exist? Or are we talking about the presence of God, which you feel tangibly or kind of you know in an intimate level? And I think that is the type of presence of God I'm talking about. That is the type of dwell that I'm talking about when I say this is what I ask to emphasize. You know, for this past year and a half, a few of us have met at Kerry Francis's house on Thursday mornings, and we've just prayed and worshipped from 6:30 to 7:30. And basically, they have been the best times of my week. Consistently, and every single time I get up, and I have to get up at usually 6:10, which isn't that bad, but in the winters it's worse, and every single time I think, I really can't be bothered to do this morning, and I just think, what's the point, you know? I know God's with me, you know, God loves me, and I'm kind of going about my day, and it's great, and God's with me, and then I get there, and after 10 minutes of worshipping, and I just think, oh, this is great, worshipping again, I do it, you know, most days, most weeks, I've been Christian quite a while now, here we go, here's another worship. After about 10 or 15 minutes of worship, I just find that it feels like suddenly God himself has arrived in the room, and it is amazing. It is absolutely holy, and it refreshes me in ways that I didn't think I needed. And we end up laughing, we end up crying. God begins putting ideas into my head about things to do, people to see, things that we should be going for as a church. He puts things on our heart to pray for, and we just begin getting a heart for some people or the town or whatever. And we leave those places changed every single week. And every single week, I am honestly surprised at what God does in those times. And it's like that with personal times with the Lord. Often, you know, I just think, I don't need to hang out with God. You know, I know God loves me, whatever. And if I take half an hour out and I just spend time worshipping and I just choose to let myself, Lord, I'm just going to become the object of your affection right now. You can just love me for the next 5 minutes. And as I go into that place, and often I've got distractions and I've got, you know, things going on, and after that I push through, and after 15 minutes I find the Lord just begin to speak to me and just encounter me and love me and fill me with resource and energy and a life to just keep on going and to conquer my fears and insecurities and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's absolutely amazing. And there's something about, was the presence of God there before? Yeah, sure he was, but maybe I just kind of tapped into it at that time. Maybe I turned up. It wasn't that God turned up, but there's something about when we're talking about what dwelling, God dwelling with his people, us being a people of the presence, it's something about that extra bit where it feels like, wow, God is changing us and he's really, really here. We're not just doing, we're not going through the motions, we're not just going through the works and singing songs to the distant God. You know, it's when he's real and we're being changed and we're encountering him. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about, let's go for the presence of God. Is that okay? So, for me, I think it all starts with worship. Basically, worship is kind of, I think, the thing which is just the easiest way in. For me, like, you know, in Revelation, Jesus is called Son of David. And I just think, you know, the fact that God has called his son of David for eternity means that there's something in the life of that man that has really moved God's heart. So a man has stirred God's heart so much that God has decided to call his son, Son of David. That's amazing. And his life is set apart by worship. Not by perfect behavior. We all know that. It's by worship. And he set up the tent of David, tabernacle of David. He set up constant worship in the temple. He just loved to worship God. And it wasn't a one-way thing. He knew it was a two-way thing. He said radical things. There's radical lines in the Psalms, which you don't expect to be in the Old Testament. He says things like, because you have loved me. La, 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 la. And it's like, he just knew it. He knew it was a two-way thing. So for me, it starts in worship. And the best worship times, for me, kind of, I don't know how this works theologically, Andy. But for me, they kind of represent the tabernacle of Moses. So there's the outer courts, and that for me is kind of, as we enter in through kind of praise and thanksgiving. And you see this again in my own personal times with the Lord and corporate times with the Lord. These are the best times in worship. And you enter in through praise, like we did today, and it's like, we welcome you with praise. And we kind of, we go, and that's all happy clappy. I think the more happy clappy it is, the better. And then we enter into the inner court, which was the Holy of Holies, that wasn't the Holy of Holies. And in the inner court, we kind of almost kind of enter into kind of a place of worship, and we begin to experience like his glory. And sometimes when we talk about, the presence of God is here, guys, and I say stuff like that, it's almost as if we've gone from the outer courts and we go into the inner courts, and actually we begin to experience some of his character, some of his glory. And it's like, it just becomes a bit softer and a bit more gentle. And then in the tabernacle of Moses was the Holy of Holies, and that is where it kind of goes into a really, really special place, whereby you see God. And there's a couple of scriptures, I've done a little study on this, there's a couple of few scriptures in the Bible which says those who see God will die, but there's like 20 scriptures of people who see God and don't die. So I think just that concept of, you can't see God, is like, that's a lie. So, let's see God. but there's something about, actually we've gone from praise, we've entered into something that's more kind of intimate, more holy, and now we're entering into actually a real encounter with the Lord, whereby each and every single one of us are engaging with him face to face. We can boldly enter in. So, but that kind of got me thinking is, what are our worship times like? Are our worship times kind of outer court, or are our worship times as we get to inner court? And how often as in church do we get to, Holy of Holies? And the reality is it's really difficult on Sunday mornings to kind of get the whole way, I think, often, because we've got the kids coming in and we've got time for a talk or whatever. But actually as a community, I really want us to find space where we can really, really just enter in to the presence of God. So Kerry Francis is leading a little team, which will be kind of setting up some Marlow Deepers this term. The week of the 16th of September, we're going to have a few consecutive nights of worship. And I think on Friday nights, it probably will be, we're going to look to just meet maybe kind of once a month, every other month kind of thing, and just come together for those who want to. And let's just hunger after him. Let's just go for it. Let's worship. Let's see what he does. Okay. So, Billy Kennedy posted something on Facebook recently, which really kind of got me thinking. He leads the Pioneer Network of Churches, and he posted a question: how do you keep a movement moving? And I was kind of thinking, Al, when you started River Church with the guys, that you're part of a movement, you're part of something exciting. You've got this hunger, you've got this energy, you've got this thing of, man, we've got to keep it going. We've got to be missional. We've got to be Christ-centered. We've got to be worshipful. There's an energy to it. People are prepared to sacrifice to it. But as you see throughout church history, through various kind of denominations which have sparked in kind of revival, you actually end up in, you can easily end up in like just religion and just going through the motions. You get to a certain point where you get really, really comfortable. And you think, actually, we've done that. Now let's just sit back and just go to work, turn up at church on Sunday morning, and let's be nice and comfortable. And for me, that's kind of that is the challenge for this for my generation, for us as a generation. Every single generation needs to find Christ for themselves again. It's how do we keep this thing moving? Because I'm not interested in just leading a nice little church where we just kind of do our thing, guys. I'm not. I really want to see tons of people come to know Jesus and the kingdom being established in Marlow. So how do we keep this thing going? I think one of the absolute foundations is to be a people focused around the presence of God. And from that place, we're changed. From that place, God gives us downloads. He gives us ideas. He puts things on our heart. From the place of worship, from the place of encounter, social transformation happens. And that's what you see kind of nationally, internationally. That's what comes from revivals. So, I just want to honour Andy, and I want to honour Tim and the guys who do the PA, Ollie and Tay. If everyone who's involved in our worship as a church, Kerry, if you're listening, if any other worship leaders and people on worship teams who are listening to the talk, I just want to honour you guys. If you guys could stand, that'd be really good. And also, people who are on the Marlow intercession team, I'd really like you to stand. And I just want us to thank them as a congregation and just honour them because they're the ones who lead us in worship. You guys just do an absolutely fantastic job. And the worship in our church is absolutely phenomenal. And we just really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much. So I've bought 20 copies of this book, Hosting the Presence, by Bill Johnson, which about eight or 9 months ago, Colin gave to all the congregational leadership teams in the church. And it is a fantastic book. And I'd like 20 people at least to buy these. Otherwise I'd bought 20 books. and I'd also like to encourage you to read the last chapter first. The last chapter just caused my heart to burn. It is absolutely fantastic. Just telling some of the testimonies of what God has done, certain people, certain individuals, certain communities. It just raises the bar and puts a fire in your heart for this stuff. So, £10. Please come and buy them. If people buy, I'm just going to be honest, if people buy them for £10, that'll enable me to kind of give some people a discount or some people them for free, because they're actually £9. So if that's two freebies, basically, if you buy them for £10. That's two books for free. So yeah, I'd like us to read that book as a community this term. Take your time reading it. And, okay, I'd like to summarise. Basically, God, he wants to be with us. He wants to do absolutely amazing things with us. He's in a good mood. He's a loving God. So there's not one thing to be nervous about or scared about or anything like that, because it's God. He's a father. He just like wants to be with us. It's amazing. And the thing is, we can have as much as we want, and that is the truth. There's nothing we need to do which is like super special other than want it. The amount which we walk in as a community is the direct proportion to the amount which we want it. I'm not talking about some like kind of bashing ourselves, like self-flagellation or whatever. It's like, it's really simple. If I really want to learn about golf, then I will join my golf club. I'll spend loads of time. I'll watch YouTube coaching videos about golf. I'll get golf tuition. I'll go to my kind of golf conferences. I'll get the best clubs and I'll become good at golf. Exactly the same with God. If we want God, if we want him to do stuff, we need to give our time. We need to give our priorities. We need to give our efforts, our thoughts, what we focus on, we empower. And if we want to go for this, guys, together, all we need to do is want it. All we need to do is want him. Day by day, week by week. You know, read this book, choose to take time out, you know, within your own busy schedules, take half an hour out with the Lord each week and just go, you know what, I'm going to do this. I just want to end by saying, some of you in this room can think back to times in your life where you were really, really on fire for God. And you think, that time in my life, I was on fire for God. And that was the best time in my spiritual walk. And I want to say that it's a lie that that will remain the best time in your life spiritually. That actually, if we go for this together, if you go for this and really choose to just prioritize new intimacy with God, new priority of the presence of God, getting to know God in your life, this, we will enter into a season as a church of being more on fire for God and more passionate about God, more alive spiritually than before. Yeah. Yeah. Really simple. So I'd like us to do a few declarations. That's all right, Tim. Speak things, for some of you, that are not as they are. As we speak things, empowers in life. Okay, you ready? Yep. So this is about this term, this coming season as a church. You ready? I am going to new levels in my intimacy with God. We are a church known for the manifest presence of God. God's presence is released in everything I do. Like David, I am a man. Lord, you are absolutely wonderful. And you are just so, so worthy of all our affections, of all our praise. You are worthy of our lives. You are absolutely magnificent, Father. And I just want to thank you that it's impossible to outgive you. So as we give ourselves to you, as we give our time, as we give our priorities, as we give our attention, our thoughts, our money, our lives to you, Lord, I just want to thank you that you just give back in abundance. It's impossible to outgive you. And Lord, I just want to just pray that, you know, as a church, we would continue to move, Lord, that we started as a movement and we do not want to stay, just become stagnant, Lord. We want to be a people that are propelled forward into the town, into the streets, into our workplaces, driven by your presence, Lord. Father, I want to pray for people, Lord, who just look back to the old days and you think those days were the days when I was really, you know, on it with God. You know, I want to just prophesy that you're entering a new season of intimacy with God, a new season of radical encounter with God, a new season of the Lord just bringing hope and healing to your heart, a new season of you of seeing God, of hearing from him, of God using you in ways like you just thought you couldn't be done. Father, I want to pray for fresh hope to arise within us, a fresh hope that you could just do amazing things amongst us, that would be a people that we would see angels, we'd walk with angels, where we would see just people walk into our meetings and just like tumors coming off them, or people with, you know, tremendous pain just falling off as they walk into the atmosphere of heaven, Lord. Father, as Evan Roberts prayed, you know, in the Welsh revival, Father, I want to pray, Lord, just bend me and bend the church. Father, we wouldn't just become complacent. We wouldn't just become just kind of just stuck in a rut of just doing church, Lord. But Father, we would live out the pages of this book. We would enter into the promises you've spoken over us as a church. And Lord, I want to commission this new academic year. I want to commission this term, Lord, as a term whereby we as a community just become on fire for you. Lord, we just give ourselves to your presence again. We commit ourselves to worshiping you, to worship being at the very core of what we do and who we're about. Father, I just want to ask for just personal, individual, and corporate visitations.
crazy, crazy kind of Bible standard visitations, Lord. In dreams, just in personal times with you, in meetings, whenever, Lord.